Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking with me, Delia Delore. If you've not heard of the show before, welcome and get ready to learn with us as we dissect popular mottos, mantras and metaphors. We trace their origins and find how they translate to everyday life. Each week we have a special guest who resonates with their chosen expression. Today we have an exciting and old phrase, and its origins have a widely different meaning than how it is used today. Stay with us as we discuss pull yourself up by your bootstraps, created by those wishing to describe something absurd, but now used in a serious manner. So join us as we encourage you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps if it becomes necessary. I've found myself in that situation a lot, really, and when I actually heard the metaphor, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, I had to really think, when last did I hear that? And I'm still actually thinking what the answer is. Maybe you know of a situation that you knew that you had to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and when you did do it, everything went well for you. And that's what we can just hope for you, that you listen to that little thing inside you that said, come on, I can do this better, let me sort this out, and then it worked for you. Today's guest is Nicole Joseph Chin, who has received multiple global fellowships and awards in the care of women, especially those who need support with breast health. We met many years ago in the Caribbean, I believe it was Trinidad, and I follow her active schedule around the globe. First, let's clear something up. What exactly is a bootstrap? Well, I'm betting right now you're still trying to remember exactly what it is. A bootstrap is a loop or handle at the back of a large boot that allows the wearer to more easily put the boot on. Now, I'm sure we use them nowadays on our boots and we don't even remember that that is what it's called, a bootstrap. But where did it come from? Well, many people attribute that the phrase first appeared in The Surprising Adventures of Baron Munchausen by Rudolf Erich Rasp, a collection of folk tales based upon the infamous, you know, you guessed it, Baron Munchausen, an 18th century German aristocrat who became known for telling tall tales based upon his career in the military. But how does the phrase relate to a long dead German noble? It is often said to have been pulled from a story in which the great baron pulls himself and his horse, Bucephalus, great name for a horse, out of a swamp by his ponytail. The great baron was rocking a killer ponytail, allowing for a good, strong grip for this incredible feat. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. How does a phrase about bootstraps derive itself from a story that does not mention, reference, or allude to it at all? Don't worry, we haven't gone mad. It's actually a cool story.
Captain May!
This is a crisis. A large crisis. In fact, if you've got a moment, it's a 12-story crisis with a magnificent entrance hall, carving throughout, 24-hour portage, and an enormous sign on the roof saying, this is a large crisis. A large crisis requires a large plan. Get me two pencils and a pair of underpants. Right, Baldrick. This is an old trick I picked up in the Sudan. We tell HQ that I've gone insane and I will be invalided back to Blighty before you can say a wibble. A poor, gormless idiot.
Well, I'm a poor, gormless idiot, sir, and I've never been invalided back to Blighty.
Yes, Baldrick, but you never said a wibble. Now, ask me some simple questions.
Right. What is your name?
Wibble.
What is 2 plus 2?
Oh, wibble, wibble.
Where do you live?
London.
Hey?
A small village on Mars, just outside the capital city. Wibble.
Where were we? Oh, yes. A story about a man yanking his own rat tail to get him and a horse unstuck from a swamp. Well, as you know, with many of the sayings, phrases, and idioms on this show, their origins are often hotly debated. I say hotly, and I mean it. So, again, we have a mystery. Did the story inspire the phrase, or did the phrase inspire the story? We may never know, but what is good to know is that if you write a collection of odd tales about a weird German man, you too can have an idiom incorrectly attributed to you. And by that, I mean anything is possible. Seriously, many scholars believe that while the phrase from The Adventures of the Baron may not be a direct quote, many feel it arose in that time as a vein of thought, a very different thought from how we use it today. As in the tale of the Baron, to pull oneself up by one's bootstraps was originally meant to describe an impossible and often absurd task, about as possible and sane as pulling yourself and horse up by your long hair. So why then do we use it these days to encourage people to try to overcome great difficulty?
Have you ever walked out of a mall into a huge parking area and realized you'd forgotten where you parked your car?
Ever gone mountain biking?
What do you want to be when you grow up? What's the right tip?
Have you called a plumber to your home lately? How superstitious are you?
How much money would it take to make you spend a night in a cemetery? Would you display this as a trophy? Do you have a pet? Do you have a sweet tooth? Do you believe in the power of a curse?
Have you had your hearing tested lately?
The origins of pull yourself up by your bootstraps began when people wanted to describe something ludicrous and far-fetched to downright impossible. For example, if your friend, let's call him Gary, came to you one day and said that he had a dream to go to live with the fairies who live in the woods and become their mayor, well, you would rightly say to Gary, you might as well pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because taking off to the woods with the intention of becoming the alderman of tiny magical creatures with wings is about as possible as grabbing onto the loop of one's boots and pulling yourself off the ground. So how, why, and when did all that change? Because in our common sense today, if you were to tell your friend Gary after he confesses that he wants to go prance around in the woods in nothing but a leaf and join a community of fictional members of the fairy race, and you told him to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, he would probably reply something to the effect of, you're right. If I work hard enough and really have the go-getter attitude, I can become the PM of fairies and finally fulfill my lifelong dream. At which two things would run through your mind. First, that Gary has taken the completely wrong idea from this idiom. And secondly, you may want to rethink your friendship with Gary, who clearly is going through something. And if you thought that way, maybe you could reach out to another of Gary's friends and ask them to check in on him and make sure that he's okay.
I'm fine! Totally fine! I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine. You know what we should do?
Calm ourselves?
No. We should all have dinner. Yes, we'll do it tomorrow night. I'll cook!
Look, don't you think that'll be a little weird?
Weird? What? What's weird? The only thing weird would be if someone didn't like Mexican food because I'm making fajitas!
So a phrase that started off with a sarcastic tone, literally, how did it evolve to become something serious? It's not uncommon for phrases to change meaning over time, but typically it's the other way around. Phrases begin as either literal or in a more serious tone, and then over time, as things change and they become outdated, they take on a more jovial idea and meaning. As lexicographer Ben Zimmer once said, it's hard to explain why the meaning of an expression changes over time. Sometimes things start off as having a kind of ironic or humorous edge to them, but that gets forgotten along the way. Zimmer explained, people have been referring to bootstraps in this metaphorical way for so long, the original irony of the expression was lost. Nobody's thinking of the impossible image of pulling themselves over a fence. How cool is that?
Who is the coolest, grooviest, hippest cat on the show tonight?
David Tennant, I would have thought.
Yeah. I'm going for Bell.
Yeah, could be.
Today's guest is Nicole Joseph Chin. She's the founder and CEO of Miss Braffitt Limited, a social enterprise focused on women's health and specifically breast health. Miss Braffitt offers solutions for women, girls, medical practitioners, and women in treatment. Nicole is also the founder of MBF Enterprises Limited, Making Business Fun Channel, which focuses on ideation and innovative business model development through a 90-day experimental mentorship model. She also established the Two Cups of Care Women's Program, which offers support solutions for women and girls with a focus on building awareness of the effects of gender-based violence. Nicole, thank you for joining us on Metaphorically Speaking today.
It's a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to be here, actually, to join you.
Well, you have, I think, a very hard metaphor, because in talking to my team, they had so many different viewpoints on it that I could tell that they were speculating. They didn't have a clue what it meant until they actually started doing some of the research. And I thought you would have a very interesting take on it. So how does the metaphor pull yourself up by your bootstraps resonate with you?
So when you shared that metaphor with me in terms of the bootstrap, there were so many ways that I actually gave it some consideration, some thought. Particularly in my work, I work with the bra. So I thought first and foremost of the bra strap, because what I have seen is the way so many women have been empowered by the work that I do. And from the bootstrap perspective, I really started my social enterprise in the Caribbean, and particularly Trinidad and Tobago, at a time when there was really no semblance or presence of social entrepreneurship. So I pretty much was pioneering. I was starting something totally new. I became the earliest or first adopters of social entrepreneurship in Trinidad and Tobago. And so I had to literally drive some of my thinking when no one understood. I had to drive my innovation where it did not exist. And so I had to pretty much become that soldier for my my dream. And in soldiering on, I had to always, at some given time, pick myself up at the bootstrap. So when I look at it from a metaphorical perspective of the bra as well, mind them titties had to be inside and the straps had to be well adjusted, because if I had to take a leap of faith and I had to jump, I had to make sure everything was intact. As far as the women I'm serving and I'm taking care of who have entrusted me with their care from the breast care perspective, I had to also make sure that for them, if there was anything to be secured, it would be that bra strap. So I'd also have to make sure that if they had to jump, everything would be in place.
For our listeners to truly get what you've just said, can you explain more about your work with the bra strap?
So Miss Brafit is a social enterprise that has focused on the bra as a catalyst for social change and for gender empowerment, particularly because many times when we do refer to a breast health situation, it's usually because there's been a diagnosis and it's something really uncomfortable and discomforting. So what we've done is decided to align our work to more positive discussions around breasts so that it becomes an empowering conversation, so that when there is any kind of challenge, it is way more prepared in terms of the way the woman has the information that she needs, the way the girl has information about her body and her body empowerment the way that she needs it, and that society also views breasts differently, particularly in the Caribbean and particularly in places where usually the dialogue around breast is one of shame or fear or some kind of challenge around it's too big, it's too small. I'm not happy with these. So we bring the breast dialogue into a more comfortable frame where the conversation is more empowering. So we are Miss Brofit, and we have been Brofitters in Trinidad and Tobago, and we've actually been present in some shape or form on five continents since 2002.
Wonderful. But if we take the metaphor out of the context of the bra strap and we look at it in everyday life, do you think that someone in their early 20s, do you think that they would understand what it meant if someone said to them, pull yourself up by your bootstraps?
Well, you know, the boot, it's really commonplace. So I think the generations, whether we look at from an age or social perspective, will understand boot. They may understand the context of what it means to really pull yourself up, meaning, well, let's just get things going, you know, let's improve, let's feel better, let's give ourselves a quick pat on the shoulder and keep moving. So I think because of the connotation of it, and I do think it has a positive connotation in the first instance, it might not be that difficult to decipher. I think it's a fair expression that can easily be deciphered.
Well, one of the earliest rationales for that metaphor, it was meant to describe to someone how a task could be done. It was more or less trying to say to them, like, this task appears impossible to do or absurd, but actually, if you make the effort, you'll be able to achieve what you'd like to achieve. And when I think of metaphors, I actually like to imagine the literal sense of it, because metaphors, some of them you can't literally describe them or imagine them, because after all, that's why a lot of the metaphors began. They began as a simpler way of explaining a situation or explaining a story. So instead of going on in the story for 2 or 3 minutes, you could just drop one sentence and then someone would just get it. So when I think about visualizing or taking the literal sense of pulling yourself up by the bootstrap, it takes me back to the original meaning of the word, where if I'm putting my foot in a boot and I'm using the strap of the boot to put my feet in, then it means that it's not going in as easily, but ultimately your feet go in there. So if we have to kind of take away the vision of that and put it into what you described or said to a younger person, I don't think they would get it immediately. And some people listening might be thinking, what are you from the Iron Age? But I don't think that they would get it as easily, because I don't even think that they would, and I say this carefully, that they would know what a bootstrap is.
And, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think even because, okay, fashionably, the boot has changed and that's cool. But that bootstrap has actually been replaced by something. So even I'm thinking, you know, the more fashionable ones that may be a little more exciting and come with maybe even light up soles or anything like that, or the sparkly ones, they still have something that really helps you to put it on, to get it on, and to keep it on. So again, you know, contextually, I'm feeling like the visual of a boot, even when there's a deep metaphorical meaning, it still has not lost its essence of what that strap is, even where it has evolved fashionably. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think if we think of it in a fashion sense, then I think you can't go wrong, can you? Because fashion really... there are two sides of fashion. There is the expected fashion, and then you've got all these wonderful new designers coming up who design what is in their heart. They're so creative. And I also see it from a kind of a social context. If we had to just say it as it is, it could have a meaning of saying, well, you know what? You're telling me to pull myself up by my bootstrap. It might mean that what I've just said is a bit far-fetched. But if I stop and I think, because what you're telling me is to pull myself up means stop and think what you're doing, perhaps, then maybe if I have a better attitude or I think more deeply about this, then actually I can wear it. You know, like if the hat fits, I can wear it. I can do the things that I, even though it may sound a bit silly, maybe if I kind of stop and think a little while, I can. So when someone says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, some people may think that you're saying to them, look, this is ridiculous. It can also mean, well, you know what? You have got an idea. That's quite creative. But, you know, before you go ahead and do it, just, you know, slow yourself down a bit. So like most metaphors, if they're not purely cultural ones that were handed down by ancestors, we can practically make a metaphor say, or we can believe a metaphor in any way that we choose to. Let's go back to a little bit about what you do, because you don't own only Miss Brofitt. You work with women quite extensively and you've traveled. Tell us a bit more about that.
Wow, where do I begin? So the truth is, women's health is just one, you know, that it's the bigger umbrella. And the bra and breast health is a category that I have chosen to work very deeply inside of. And what we found is that the conversation is universal, it's collective. So that in any part of the world that I have found myself in or have been invited to, it's to continue the conversation around breast health, women's health, and how do we create safe conversations, safe spaces, and of course, curate, by extension, safe and sustainable cities where women can thrive, where health as a discussion is not one that is about being afraid of a diagnosis or being afraid of accessing any kind of solution or intervention. Early in my journey, I had acknowledged that because my work focused on being borderless, I could become that person that began evangelizing and really being a steward for the conversation to be easier inside of spaces or cultural domains where maybe it's not an easy conversation to have. We've designed education and tools and solutions to make it an easier conversation. We've created partnerships to make the dialogues and the delivery of any kind of awareness or education an easier thing to do, and particularly to serve the grassroots and underserved communities. Because that's one of the things that you find happens when we start to truly delve into the whole discussion around women's health. There are many populations that remain underserved because of various challenges. What we do, therefore, is we partner or curate or create any kind of intervention that makes it easier, that makes breasts, body agency, gender justice, social dialogues easier to be had. And we recognize that this is something that is necessary globally. So this is where we get to really be around the globe, around the world, with our partners and our peers and organizations who invite us to participate in making the world a better place for women and girls, and by extension, societies and communities.
And how can our listeners find out about you? Where can they go?
We are on social media, generally Professionally, we can be found on LinkedIn. My full name, Nicole Joseph Chin. Our organization has a website, missprofit.com, MSBRAFIT.com. We're also available on social media, Facebook, Instagram, under the same MS.BRAFIT, Ms. Profit. And we are able to be also found through some of our partners like Safe City. By using the app, you will also find that the domicile for Trinidad is on the app. So through our partners, through our global channels, as well as online, we are able to be found and to share more very insightful information with. Also, we have a YouTube channel.
Wow, well, you're very much out there, so people can't say that they can't find you. Nicole, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps is often used to imply that those referred to should work harder, and that if they did, all their problems, particularly monetary ones, would disappear overnight. However, many people are not often poor by choice, and hard work, despite how noble that can be, cannot outmatch the economic reality of our society. So why then, against all sense, do we still use this phrase as advice for those hurting in their pocketbook? It's like a fantasy, not like the very popular game Dungeons and Dragons, where you can cast a spell or fight a dragon, but fantasy like the way we dream about having superpowers or having our crush fall in love with us. Some people call it daydreaming, or as dads around the world call it, "Are you listening to me?" Honestly, I might as well be talking to a brick wall. We sometimes prefer the dream to reality, and that's what the bootstraps represent, the dream, that humans can do the impossible despite all evidence to the contrary. It's great that people think this way, because without that, would we really be human?
Manuel, there is too much butter on those trays. There is too much butter on those trays.
No, 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 senor. What? Not on those trays. No, sir. Uno, dos, tres.
No, no, no. I'm mucho burro ali.
Okay?
I'm mucho burro ali.
Ah, mantequilla.
What?
Okay? Mantequilla. Burro is Burro. Burro.
Manuel, por favor, momento.
Si, si, si.
Nothing, dear, I'm just dealing with it.
He speak good, how you say?
English.
The modern meaning of the phrase may have lost its ironic tone from its origins, but does that make it any less absurd? Humans tend to like the absurd, which is why that type of humour has persisted over history. For reference, see the theatrical play Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. It is quite good and incredibly absurd. Then to my next point, despite the absurdity of the phrase and its more ironic origins, we should be wary of those who would use this phrase poorly as an accusation, as truth not to be questioned, because there may be people like this out there. People who will say this phrase with a snide tone. For them, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. For reference, the popular board game Monopoly. Or a form of absolution, because with this phrase, they don't have to confront the reality of our economic system and can blame the individual on a personal level for their problems, because you just have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Who serve? Hesitation, love one.
Who's go?
Why?
Why not?
What for?
No! No synonyms! What up?
What in God's name is going on?
Foul, no rhetoric, 2-1.
What does it all add up to?
Can't you guess?
Are you addressing me?
Is there anyone else?
Who?
How would I know?
Why do you ask?
Are you serious?
Was that rhetoric?
No!
Statement. Two all, game point.
What's the matter with you today?
When?
What?
Are you deaf?
Am I dead?
Yes or no?
Is there a choice?
Is there a God?
Foul! No non sequiturs. 3-2-1, game all.
These days, you often hear this phrase used in political spheres, in speeches and advice from those running for various offices. Why? Because they want us to blame ourselves for a rigged system. Do you know what the most direct indicator is that someone will be rich? It's already having money. Think how silly that sounds. Almost as silly as pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that the biggest way to know if someone will have a lot of money is that they started out with already a lot of money. So why then would someone like that use this phrase? Simply the absurd. They will use that phrase because they want to believe that they succeeded on their own, and that obviously the reasons others don't do the same is because they just aren't trying hard enough. Let me put it this way. If you wanted to start a business, say selling bootstraps, what do you need? Well, you first need the bootstraps. Then you need a place to sell them, like a store. Then you need to advertise to get people into the store to sell them. You might also need to hire someone else to work in the store and a variety of other things. So say you have no money. How do you do this? Most places that make bootstraps won't sell them on the promise that you will pay them later. Most people who rent out space to put up a store won't let you lease because you have a friendly smile. And people tend not to work for free. So then let's say that before the great business idea, you also had a million gold coins sitting in a giant vault like Scrooge the Duck. The possibility of owning that business seems a lot more likely and a lot easier than before.
Titus Salt has gone into the mills where he made his fortune. He's disguised as one of the workers to see what life is really like for his employees.
So, what's it like to work in my... this factory?
Noisy!
So they can't see it's too noisy!
No, no, it's noisy! It's smoggy too, it gets into the lungs!
Sorry? I see, the smog gets into your lungs, mate.
No, no, it gets into the lungs!
Titus has finally got the message about the terrible conditions his employees work in, and their living conditions aren't much better.
What? Kids, here's the new bloke I was telling you about. New bloke, wife, kids.
Pleased to meet you. Could I possibly use your lavatory?
A watertory?
Lavatory. A small room outside you used to, do your business.
Your business?
No, it's not my business. I'm just a humble worker.
Oh, well, you said to do your business.
Now we have to go a little dark here for a second, which for a podcast about phrases actually seems pretty standard. Some phrases have a dark history, but instead this time I want to talk about the real world implications of telling people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, because it doesn't just sweep aside the economic realism of some people's lives, but also steers us away from a good policy making that would actually help improve people's lives. This narrative that the only path to success is hard work can in the end prevent governments and elected officials from implementing and funding social programs that have been proven time and time again to have a net benefit for society as a whole. Funding things like healthcare, education, food programs, and public transport help everyone both in the short and long term. But if all fiscal responsibility falls to the individual, then we are going to get nowhere. It's important to remember as we discuss idioms, phrases and metaphors that they are just that, figures of speech that can be helpful in an inspiring speech or during a big game, but they are not gospel. They are not a replacement for real economic policy and research done by dedicated people who want to build the world we live in. In reality, it is hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps if you cannot even afford boots.
This paper says that if we cancel Trident,
and bring in conscription. We shall have £1.5 billion available for tax cuts. And what do I find?
What do you find, Prime Minister?
I find that the Chancellor of all people opposes me on this. A wonderful chance to be popular with the voters, and he says no. Doesn't that surprise you?
No.
Doesn't surprise me. Why doesn't it surprise you?
Because he's advised by the Treasury, and the Treasury don't believe in giving money back.
It's not theirs. It's the taxpayers.
That is one view. It's not the view of the Treasury, Dave. Not once they've got their hands on it.
But if they don't need it...
Sorry?
If they don't need it.
Taxation isn't about what you need.
No, what is it about?
Prime Minister, the Treasury doesn't work out what they need to spend and then think how to raise the money.
What does it do?
They pitch for as much as they think they can get away with and then think what to spend it on. If you start giving money back because you don't need it, you're breaking with centuries of tradition.
As we wrap up today's show, I ask you to remember today's phrase, not as it is today, some pseudo-inspiring political slogan to divert blame away from those really responsible, but as its original intent, to describe something absurd, impossible, and downright ridiculous. Because by bringing bootstraps back to the silly, we can push real change for the world and for the whole world. Because if people born into wealth make big speeches about how people don't need support or that those born poor are somehow lazy, then I have a message. If you really believe that, you might as well pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Thanks for listening to Metaphorically Speaking as we delved into an interesting history and why it is impossible to literally pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And remember, if this phrase has taught us anything, it is to be upbeat and absurd, because without that, we might as well be politicians. I hope you enjoyed the show and that maybe you learned something new. We'd love you to share this podcast with your friends, and please feel free to leave a review on colourful.com or on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all major streaming platforms. And also, we're on Facebook and Instagram, Metaphorically Speaking Delia. Please join us there. If you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk. Join us for another metaphor next week. Until then, I'm Delia Delore. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Metaphorically Speaking, created by Delia Delore Productions, with original distribution by Colourful. This episode was hosted and produced by Delia Delore and written by Joseph Whittle, who also provided audio clips. Script supervisor was Delia Delore. Social media graphics by Ojua Osemwenke. This episode of Metaphorically Speaking was edited by Bernardo Hita. Podcast supervisor is Jeremy Goldsworthy.